The following program is in no way representative of the high-quality programming usually heard on the Maverick Radio Network. The views expressed and fishing techniques demonstrated are not endorsed by this station. The following is not a news broadcast. Yo, bros. Tonight is your night, bro.
Tonight is my night.
Hey, welcome to the five count.
Welcome.
It's pretty epic.
Yeah, epic.
School is back in session. You know how I know?
How?
Saw a bunch of dorks playing with bean bags out in their yards.
Bunch of dorks.
That's a sign that school is back in session.
You mean there weren't cool guys?
Well, probably cooler than guys who aren't playing with beanbags.
Yeah?
But we have a great radio program.
Yeah? I didn't even know that there was such thing as non-cool beanbag player dudes.
Well, I'm friends with Mojo Nixon.
What?
And I've asked him to be on the program tonight.
Did he agree?
He said, yes, sir.
No way.
And then he said, is that guy going to be there?
What guy? Me, are you referring to?
Yeah.
Come on.
So, be cool.
He asked if I was going to be there, like, in a good way, right?
Right.
Like, he wanted to talk to me.
Right.
Okay.
So
awesome.
So we're going to call Mojo Nixon.
Nice.
Remember that guy?
Yeah, I remember that dude.
He was in your favorite movie, The Super Mario Brothers.
Pretty much all of my favorite films.
He played Toad.
And my favorite music.
And he has a beef with Don Henley, which I appreciate.
Yes, you do.
That's good stuff.
You hate that guy.
Well, who doesn't?
I know somebody.
Your mom probably likes the Eagles, but not me, pal.
Oh, jeez.
So, I guess that's it. Do we just get things underway?
Well, I mean, we could.
What's the point of dilly-dallying?
Well, you're friends with this guy, right? I mean, you know he's up and everything?
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to be up late just for us.
Old Mojo. It's going to be there. Let's ask him about butt crack.
Mojo Nixon. This guy rocks. He's a loudmouth, isn't he?
I wouldn't mention that to him.
Oh, don't.
I would suggest that we churn the milk and then make it butter. That's all I'm saying.
Do you have some of his tunes lined up?
Yeah, let's play some Mojo Nixon tunes.
Awesome.
Then we'll call him. Then we'll come back. And we will still believe. Right?
Awesome.
That's what you have to do.
Yeah.
Tun stopped believing once, and Steve Perry came by his house and punched him right in the face.
Right in the face.
So he, from this point on, he will not stop believing. Just in case.
Oh, I love that guy.
So shall we?
Yep.
Mojo Nixon coming tonight. Up here on the Five Count.
When I look out into your eyes out there, when I look out into your faces, you know what I see? I see a little bit of Elvis in each and every one of you out there. Let me tell you, well, Elvis is everywhere. Elvis is everything. Elvis is everybody. Elvis is still the king. Man, oh man, what I want you to see is that the big beat inside you and me. Elvis is everywhere, man. He's in everything.
body. Elvis is in your jeans. He's in your cheeseburgers. Elvis is in Nutty Buddies. Elvis is in your mom. He's in everybody. He's in the young, the old, the fat, the skinny, the white, the black, the brown, and the blue. People got Elvis in them too. Elvis is in everybody out there. Everybody's got Elvis in them. Everybody except one person, that is. Yeah, one person. The evil opposite of Elvis. The anti-Elvis. Anti-Elvis got no Elvis in him, let me tell ya. Michael J. Fox has no Elvis in him. Yeah, and Elvis is in Joan Rivers, but he's trying to get out, man. He's trying to get out. Listen up, Joni, baby. Elvis is everywhere. Elvis is everything. Elvis is everybody. Elvis is still the king. Phenomenon out there in the world. A lot of things people say, what the heck's going on? Let me tell ya. Who built the pyramids?
Elvis!
Who built Stonehenge?
Elvis!
Yeah, man, you see guys walking down the street pushing shopping carts, and you think they're talking to Allah, they're talking to themselves, man. No, they're talking to
Elvis! Elvis! Elvis!
You know what's going on that Bermuda Triangle? Down the Bermuda Triangle.
Elvis needs boats. Elvis needs boats. Elvis, 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 Elvis needs boats.
Ah, the sailing Elvis. Captain Elvis. Commodore Elvis it is. Yeah, man. You know, people from outer space. People from outer space, they come up to me. They don't look like Dr. Spock. They don't look like Klingons, all that Star Trek jive. They look like Elvis.
Elvis.
Everybody in outer space looks like Elvis, because Elvis is a perfect being. We're all moving in perfect peace and harmony towards Elvisness. Soon all will become Elvis. Everything, everywhere will be Elvis. Why do you think they call it evolution anyway? It's really Elvis-lution. Elvis-lution.
Elvis is everywhere. Elvis is everything. Elvis is everybody. Elvis is still the king.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, the time has come. Time has come to talk that little bit of Elvis inside of you. Talk to it. Call it up. Say, Elvis, heal me. Save me, Elvis. Make me be born again in the perfect Elvis light. That's right. You got that Elvis inside of you, and he's talking to you. He says he wants you to sing. Everybody got to sing like the king.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Like the king.
Uh-huh.
Get that leg going now.
Uh-huh.
And get your lip too.
Uh-huh.
Not no fool Billy Idol lip either.
Uh-huh.
Everybody.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're rocking now.
Uh-huh.
Elvis is with us. He's uh-huh. with us and he's speaking to us. He says, peoples. Uh-huh. He says, peoples.
Uh-huh.
Everybody. Everybody gotta uh-huh. sing.
Elvis is everywhere. Elvis is everything. Elvis is everybody. Elvis is still the king.
Man, oh man, what I want you to see, that the beat is out of you and me.
Elvis is everywhere. Elvis is everything. Elvis is everybody. Elvis is still the king.
Man, oh man, what I want you to see, that the beat is out of you and me. Elvis.
Well, thank you, man.
I know y'all be checking out on MTV there, and you see Mojo Nixon and Skid Roper on MTV? No! So I said, man, I gotta do something about this. So I called them up, man. I called up MTV in New York, and I said, yo, this is Mojo Nixon. Can I speak to Martha Quinn? They said, Martha Quinn? Yeah, here she is. Hello, Mojo. This is Martha Quinn. What can I do for you? I said, Martha, baby, how am I gonna get on MTV? She said, Mojo, you're too nasty. You're always talking about masturbation and fornication. You're never going to get on MTV that way, Mojo. I said, oh, Martha. I said, Martha Quinn. I want to be doing some sin with you, Martha Quinn. I want to be getting in, Martha Quinn. I said, I want to be stuffing Martha's muffin.
Wow. Oh. Yeah. All right. 1986, okay. All across the USA. Hey. In 1986, oh. Whoa. I gotta rock, I gotta roll. Hit me. Hot tub. All right, brothers and sisters, friends of the revolution, what we're gonna do right here is a little singing, a little call and response, a little sing along, a little I say it, then you say it, a little repeat after me. Here we go. MTV.
MTV.
Get away from me.
Get away from me.
I don't wanna see.
I don't wanna see.
No MTV.
No MTV.
I said music television.
Music television.
Should be covering us.
Should be covering us.
I said music television.
Music television.
Should be covering us.
Should be covering us.
How? Bada da ba ba ga ba ga juka juka bo ba do bo ba da rock juka bang ba dang bong ba da la ba ga ga do ba da home ha.
Greetings from Tromaville. I'm Lloyd Kaufman, president of Troma Entertainment and creator of The Toxic Avenger. You know, folks, when the Troma team is not making those great movies like Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead, and Romeo and Juliet, we like to kick back and listen to The Five Count, the best entertainment there is.
Wake up, boys! This is your life! Come on, son. Well, the five principles always in your face, telling you what to do. That brainless twit can kiss my ass. Never, never do. Liberate a six pack. I ain't going back up. High school is a prison, and you gotta get free. Yeah. Oh.
Dixon is back with my two-headed love child. It's a Bigfoot baby, all covered in fur now. Stark raving naked in the fornication nation. We were secretly married out in Las Vegas. And a little bit of travel, Joe Dollars made us. Rootin' tootin' ain't high for loot. Rick Ashley is a pain in the west. That's my butt, his face. His teeny tiny 2 inches of terror. Man, they all go to scare you. Every cockamamie knuckle-headed is your galoot. No truth to the rumor. My Spud and Debbie G. Only went to the motel just to watch a little TV. Hate that dog.
No idea.
You got no idea.
I got nothing.
That's rough, man. It's rough.
It is rough.
Sorry to hear that.
And on top of that, Ton.
Is your chair adjusted properly?
My chair's broken. There's a hole in my shorts.
There's a hole in your shorts.
And
aside from the one that like unzips.
Right. Right.
Wow.
And the kicker, get this.
What?
White men can't jump.
Yeah, you can't jump at all. I've seen that.
That's a bummer.
I'm saying I can't really jump either, but you can't jump, no.
Not as a white man.
White men cannot jump.
Let's call Mojo Nixon.
Unless you're Larry Bird, right?
Let's call Larry Bird. No, we'll call him later.
All right.
Let's call Mojo Nixon first.
That'd be sweet. You know Larry Bird's number? We're going to have to hang out later. Go Psycho Billy. Psycho Billy on those numbers. Would you
please
figure it out?
Your directory and call again.
What did you do?
You don't even know how to dial? Is this dude in the States? Looks like he is. Mojo. Get your mojo working over there, Dust.
Shut your face. Oh, boy.
619-43.
Hello.
Hello, is this Mojo Nixon?
This is Mojo.
Mojo, how you doing? This is Dustin Wellness from KMSU Radio.
Right, yeah, we're supposed to do some kind of interview or something, right?
Yeah, do you have time today?
I'm ready to go.
Awesome. I'm here with my co-host, Tun.
Hey, man, how you doing?
Hey, man, where y'all at?
We're in Minnesota.
Minnesota?
It's hot and humid here. It's ridiculous.
Where at in Minnesota?
In a town called Mankato. It's probably about an hour south of Minneapolis.
South of Minneapolis.
Yep.
Is that near Northfield, where they had the bank raid?
Well, sort of.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Sort of,
We had nothing to do with that, though.
Yeah,
y'all weren't around then?
No, we
younger,
didn't.
Y'all didn't do that. It's good to hear.
We didn't have nothing to do with that. I don't know what you're talking about. I can say that your little answer machine business there was pretty awesome. You kind of sound pissed.
Well, I had another one. I had the same one for like 10 years, and everybody got tired of it. So I made a new one. It sounded more angry, you know.
I like it.
You know, because I don't want people call me, and I said, like, you never answer. I said, no, you got to leave a message. You leave a message, and maybe I'll call you back. That's the Mojo way. And don't send me no text, because somebody sent me a text once. I didn't get it for 6 months later. I didn't know how to get them. They were just sitting in my phone, you know, kind of like stewing or, you know, ruminating.
That's awesome.
I had to get my son to show me how to do it.
Love it. Well, we're ready to go if you are.
I'm ready to go.
Well, let's just start by asking you, how did you get started in music? What kind of sparked that thing? What kind of influences did you have?
Well, you know, I realized at some point when I was around 20 that I didn't want to be a lawyer. My parents wanted me to go to law school because I was a good bullfish artist. I realized I wanted to be a musician. I loved music. I loved rock and roll. I loved Led Zeppelin, and I loved Sam and Dave, and I loved Elvis. And I wanted to be a musician, though I didn't really have any natural musical talent. You know, some people are naturally, they can pick up an instrument and figure it out. And, you know, I didn't have much musical talent, but I had a lot of bullfish talent. and I decided, you know, I should just do what I want to do. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. My original idea was to try to somehow combine John Lee Hooker, Woody Guthrie, Richard Pryor, Hunter Thompson, and Lou Reed into some kind of, you know, or crazy American stew. And what I realized, because I'd been in bands, I'd been in like cover bands, and I started playing guitar and I started writing songs and I was in bands and, you know, just playing like Stones and, classic rock kind of stuff, Bad Company and Aerosmith. And I realized I shouldn't try to be Bruce Springsteen. I shouldn't imitate Bruce Springsteen. I shouldn't imitate Mick Jagger. I shouldn't imitate Joe Strummer. I should just do what I do best, which is get a little hillbilly boogie woogie going and then start talking some fish over top of it.
Yeah, that's a good plan.
Well, tell us a little bit about your relationship with Skip Roper. You guys did a lot of stuff early on. How did that come about?
He was a guy. He had a surf band. There was a little, back in the early 80s in Southern California, there was a band called the Surf Punks, and there was a bunch of kind of a surf revival, and he had one of those called the Evasions. And he was hanging around the same scene. He was in Country Dick and the Snuggle Buddies, which is a thing that was before the Beat Farmers.
Okay.
And he had this washboard, and when he usually played mandolin, and occasionally he played a washboard on a stick when the mandolin didn't fit in with the song. And so I originally approached him, you know, well, let's form some kind of crazy duo. Now, I hadn't seen the Flat Duo Jets or other duos, but that was I wanted him to like play a snare drum. He said, well, now I got this washboard on a stick, why don't I play that? And I just found out me and Skid are going to play together for the first time in 22 years. Let me see if I got the date here. September 30th in San Diego at the Adams Avenue Street Fair.
Wow.
And hopefully we'll remember how to play. You know, and it worked out good. Me and Skid had a good, you know, it was a lot cheaper to just have two people on the road. And we were able to do a lot of things. We got to open for the Pogues because they had eight people and they didn't want to move their stuff. Well, guess what? We could set up in front of them. You know, plus we were splitting the money two ways or three ways with Bullethead, our manager. Other bands were splitting it 9-10 ways. So it worked good to do the duo for a while. After a while, I wanted to do the band, and he didn't want to. And so that led to the split.
Well, in those early days, did the crowds take to you guys right away, just being the duo?
Well, you know, crowd would be an overstatement. I remember once we used to bet on those first couple of tours how many people. Once the over under was 17, whether or not there'd be 17 paid in Muncie, Indiana, and there was only 14 paid. And there was a lot of shows like that, especially, you know, look, it's easy to be, if you play San Francisco on a Friday night, it's easy to draw a crowd. It's Tuesday night in Muncie, or, you know, Wednesday night in Des Moines, or whatever town y'all are in, you know, Minnesota, you know, on Sunday night. Oh, that's the death. Yeah, so now there weren't very many people at first, and I remember we played once in Austin, you know, which is a music, everybody there was in a band. I literally, there was 14 people there, and 13 of them were in a band. The other guy was a doorman, you know. and this is, you know, this is in 85, 86, and then and it was also just dudes. It was just a sausage fest. It was some kind of, you know, some kind of Hemingway-esque homoerotic man love thing. But eventually, with Elvis Is Everywhere, we got a lot more publicity. We got, and the girls started coming. Eventually, girls would come to drive their drunk boyfriends home. You know, girls would make a deal. Look, I'll take you to Mojo, but you got to go see some Jodie Foster movie with me. You know, that was part of the Mojo deal.
Well, were you guys surprised when Elvis Is Everywhere kind of became a success then?
Well, yeah, they, you know, they got played on a lot of, like, morning shows, you know, morning comedy FM radio shows, you know, where those, a lot of those kind of shows played it. And, you know, and, I knew it was going to, I knew there was some, you know, I mean, I wrote the song because I could feel some Elvis vibration. This is 10 years after his death, and, you know, everywhere you went, people had little shrines to Elvis, and there's books about Elvis, and Elvis is, you know, people are talking about, they see him at the Burger King and all this stuff. So I just tapped into the, you know, the cosmic hillbilly subconscious. And the song is kind of simultaneously a celebration of Elvis and a poke fun at how crazy his fans are, of which I'm one. So, and let me just tell you something. If you ever go to Memphis to the Elvis Museum, don't take psychedelic mushrooms. Because I had like a psychotic break and started crying. Cause it was when I saw Elvis's go-kart. It's what set me off.
His go-kart. Oh, that's
in
awesome.
Fact, I got a picture right here. You know, Elvis, he had a go-kart, and he would ride it up and down the driveway. You know, there's like, you know, he's got like a little bit of grounds there at Graceland, and he'd go up and down the driveway and, you know, maybe shoot out in the street every now and then.
That was a breaking point.
Well, you've written a lot of songs about other musicians too, you know, like a Debbie Gibson or Don Henley. Do any of those people ever get pissed, or do you ever hear back from them about that?
Don Henley was just in some article. It was in like a Reno paper. I don't have it here in front of me, but he was, you know, he was like, oh, it's no big deal, you know, and he said he listens to me, or he listens to me on Outlaw Country and thinks I'm funny. So this is, you know, this kind of took me by surprise. But, you know, Don Henley got up and sang Don Henley Must Die with us at the Hole in the Wall in Austin. And, in fact, yeah, and Debbie Gibson was on the radio show I was on in Cincinnati. The one who I haven't met is Martha Quinn. And, in fact, she works at Sirius XM and lives up in Los Angeles. But apparently she don't want to meet Mojo because I've sent feelers. and her husband is some big TV producer or something. And I've sent feelers and, you know, people, you know, mutual friends, and these feelers come back dead. So,
wow.
But when Mojo and Skid, because, yeah, I hadn't played that song in forever, but I'm sure at the big Mojo Skid reunion, stuffing Martha's muffin will be, that'll be one of the big highlights. And I'm still, you know, and I used to wear, like, I had this, this hollowed out TV set I wore on my head during that song. And I'm still trying. I got to find one of those.
Oh, man. Well, how did you end up making the transition kind of from music into acting? Because you end up doing quite a bit of acting, didn't you?
Yeah, I did some acting. But, you know, here's the thing. I'm not a very good actor. Acting is a very precise, especially movie acting, is a very precise art. And I'm a, you know, I'm a live entertainer. I like to do it real loud once, and that's be done. Acting, they want you to do the same exact thing over and over. I really can't act. That could only be me. You know, I thought I wanted to act, but I really don't. You know, the money's great. You know, there's more money spent on catering on a movie than there is a whole album budget. but you know, it's just not for me. You know, I do best with a live audience, and I can yell the word mother. That's, you know. And, you know, so, and acting is, yeah, right. And acting, all anyone told me was tone it down, less. Well, then there's nothing. You're not getting the mojo. You're paying for mojo. You know?
Well, we got to say one of our favorite films would probably be Butt Crack.
Butt Crack, the movie. Yeah. You know, look, it sounds funny, right? Mojo Nixon in a movie called Butt Crack. It's like a trauma film. It's got to be funny. Butt Crack, the movie, will suck. After watching about a half hour, you start wondering, well, should I continue breathing or just kill myself right fucking now? Right, because I was hoping it'd be so bad it's good. Oh, it's just bad. It's just bad.
Wait a minute now. Is this the same thing that happened with the Super Mario Brothers film? You were
That movie was a giant mess. Though I did get, I was in a, when I showed up on that movie, the directors, this husband and wife team that did Max Headroom, they were sitting at a picnic table at dawn crying. I'm like, well, this can't be good. But I was in the scene with Dennis Hopper, and that made it all worthwhile.
Yep.
And, you know, so it's like, you know, it's like Pacino, De Niro, Brando, Mojo. That's the way you got to look at it. Right, because, I mean, Dennis Hopper's in, you know, he's in Rebels Without a Cause with James Dean. That's only 1 degree of separation.
Yep. There you go.
So are you telling us maybe the possibility of a Butt Crack sequel is not in the works?
God, you know, in Butt Crack, at one point, they gave me money, I guess, not to film any other butt-crackian-type movies. You know, they gave, I forgot what it was called, but it was like, hey, we can't make the movie this summer, but we're going to pay you to keep you on retainer for next year.
Wow.
And I just thought this, well, this must just be drug buying money. That's what this is.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no, and I haven't done anything lately. And, look, I'm not any good at it. It's the problem. I'm not, some people are good at acting. And you're right. If you need me to be over the top for 5 minutes, that's no problem. I got that. But if you want me to, to do subtly show some emotion, you're barking up the wrong tree.
So then how did, you ended up at obviously retiring from music at one point and, you stopped acting. How did you come to all of that, like actually deciding to do that?
Well, I made all the, the last record we made, Sacre Blue, that's about as good a record as we can make. Nobody gave it this. So, why should... I already made 10 records, wrote like 120, 150 songs. Isn't that enough?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Plus I got this opportunity to do the radio. And I think, because otherwise, I'd be out there, I'd be doing the Mojo solo show, house concert. And then me and Skid would have a reunion. And then me and the Toad Lickers. And then there would also be some kind of super group of, post-Pleasure Barons, Don't You Wish Country Dick Was Here show. I'd have to be doing all that because I needed the money. But now I got this radio job. I don't have to play. I only play when I want to play. Like, a couple months ago, I played in Denver. Tim Tebow is a liar tour. Mojo comes out of retirement to set Tim Tebow straight. There is no God, and Jesus ain't coming back. And, Tim Tebow, he heard about this and left town, left Denver. Yeah, he's what he is.
Takes off. Well, what made you decide to try to come back with the music stuff?
Well, we're just playing every now and then, only like we played 2 years ago. The piano player's wife ran off. Piano player's wife left him. So Mojo Nixon and Toad Lickers reunite to get the piano player laid. It took 3 shows, but we did it.
Yes.
The fact he looked a little bit like Moe Slezak was hurting us.
Oh.
But he already knows we call him that. So we play at South by Southwest, and I'm going to do this. Me and Skid hadn't played in 22 years, so that'll be fun. Plus, I'm getting old. I used to sit down when I played with Skid, so I can sit down. All I got to do all that standing up.
Well, do you think maybe another album or other projects might come out of this reunion?
Maybe. I have ideas and stuff, but... like most songwriters, I'm really just writing the same 4 songs over and over. And, I'm not sure that, the record industry and everything is all in a state of transition. And I'm just not sure, anybody would pay to make a record. There's not one burning. I get it out by doing, Lying Gus Gockers and Outlaw Country and doing the NASCAR show. I get everything out that I need to say. So... it's not like it's building up in me and I got this giant thing I got to spew out.
Right. And are you continuing to offer a lot of your stuff for free? I know you...
we just did that. It was like a one-time, for a month only. But we had over 1.5 million, separate downloads.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those were just people looking for something for free. But, some of them had to be Mojo fans.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We did that at Amazon. And, and people still download it, still download the stuff and... I'm into some book called Cult Artist, and I'm right between who is it? I'm right between the New York Dolls and NRBQ, and they're both a lot bigger and better than me. But as a cult artist, my job is to make the cult happy.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome, man. Well, you got the radio show, and you're playing around still. Is there anything else you got in the works, or anything you want to mention?
The only thing coming up on the horizon is the Mojo Skid reunion. And there may be some, if we do it once, and there'll be a clamor to do a couple more. And I don't know if we'll go on a tour or maybe just play a few places, Up there in Minneapolis, up at the First Avenue, at the 7th Street entry, that's one of the places we played a bazillion times.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, I don't know if Steve's still up there, if they've run him off yet. But he was one of our, he was one of our favorite guys around the country. There were 5 or 10 promoters we played with 20 different times, and he was one of them.
Awesome. Well, maybe if you come back up this way and we can bring you maybe a copy of Butt Crack, you can autograph it for us.
Oh, yeah. It's a sad world. I'm walking around with Butt Crack.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's me, I guess.
Yeah.
That's what makes sure we understood who's who, you know.
Well, awesome. Thanks a lot, man.
All right, dudes. No problem, man.
Yeah, it's been great. Thanks so much.
All right. Talk to y'all later.
All right. Bye.
You can't kill me, I will not die. Not now, not ever, no, never. I'm gonna live a long, long time. My soul is on forever. Oh! Time has come. We wound our way. We stormed the gates at dawn. But now we're here into the world. Sing a victory song. Oh, boys!
You can't kill me. I will not die. Not now. Not ever. No, never. I'm all live a long, long time. My soul.
Tell me when I can drink and what I can drink. They want to ban drugs and sex and everything. People want to have a lot of rules. A lot of rules and regulations. But listen up. Listen up, Mr. Rules and Regulations. I ain't gonna obey it! That's right, man. I ain't gonna do what you say. Oh, you can put me in jail. You can kill me. You can execute me. But you can't kill rock and roll, man. Say another damn thing. I ain't eating no more fucking McDonald's either. I ain't gonna eat it no more. I ain't gonna eat it because it don't taste good. You know what? McDonald's, you kiss my butt! McDonald's, kiss my butt. It's a great big hairy butt. Got a dingleberry hanging off my butt. McDonald's, kiss my ass. You know, people say, Mojo, you're always complaining about everything. Why don't you vote in the election? Why don't you become involved in the electoral process? Oh, yeah.
Vote for Clinton, Mojo. It's going to make everything nice and new and neat. We got one fool, just as big a fool as the other fool. Ain't nothing changed. Same fools riding around in the black cars. We still riding around on the subway, riding around in the bus, We riding around in a 1978 El Torino or some damn thing, leaking oil, we ain't got no money, gotta pay taxes, everything's screwed up, I ain't gonna take it no more, I'm gonna start an armed insurrection. I'm gonna go to the hills of West Virginia and I'm gonna liberate some guns from a National Guard armory. And I'm gonna start armed revolt because at some time in the course of human events it becomes necessary to disassociate yourself, the ties that bind. I wanna break them ties. I wanna bust them up. So there I am standing around a campfire in the hills of West Virginia, and the flames are shooting up high. And I happen to be the head of the Armed Insurrection, the Rebel Alliance, and I'm gonna sing our brand new national anthem that goes something like this. You can't kill me, I will not die. Not now, not ever, no, never. Wow. I'm gonna live a long, long time. My soul is on forever. Body full of holes, but you can't kill the spirit of rock and roll, baby.
All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is Ted Nugent, and I'm proud to be a part of the 5 Count.
Girlfriend's in a coma, I know it's serious.
Girlfriend in a coma, I know it's serious.
There were times when I could have murdered her.
I would do anything not to have to hurt her.
Let me ask you. In a boxcar. Yeah, well, don't blame me. Blame the writer of this song, Morrissey. Yeah, no.
that fruitcake that sings in the Smith.
Don't blame me, blame Morrissey.
Oh, he's celibate.
Yeah, well, I'm Mojo Nixon and the anti-Morrissey. I'm Mojo Nixon and the anti-Morrissey. Can't you see? Can't you see that I am the anti-Morrissey? Ah, oh, cause I'm a meat eater. Yeah, I like my meat and I like it sweet. And I like to get laid and I always get paid. Hey, Morrissey, kiss my big hairy butt. Girlfriend in a coma, I know it's serious.
So you're pretty sure, Doc, she's not going to come out of it. Okay, thanks.
This is the sound of my brain. Then I said, this is the sound of my brain on Don Henley. Then I said, one, two, three, four.
Ghetto Brothers. Ow. In the beginning, God created the poontang, and God created the tango, but only I, Mojo Nixon, could bring these two things together and create the poontango. I'm a very sexy man.
He's a very sexy man.
I know that I am.
He knows that he am.
I do it every night.
He does it every night.
I always do it right.
He always does it right.
I said, oh, oh, oh. Do the poontango. It's a very easy dance.
It's a very easy dance.
You don't need any pants.
You don't need any pants.
You can do it low and slow. Move my hairy buttocks to and fro. I said, oh, 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 do the boondango.
What's happening?
We are doing the poontango.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome back to the Five Count.
Welcome.
That was Mojo Nixon.
Yeah, it was.
Exclusive interview.
That dude is something else.
Star of the film Butt Crack.
Uh-huh.
Which I was surprised that he didn't have a lot of friendly things to say about that film, but I still love it.
Yeah, it's your favorite.
That was a pretty good interview, I think.
Yeah, it is pretty sweet.
It's good to add him to our repertoire, our Rolodex of celebrity pals.
Yeah, it's getting pretty full these days. It's getting up there.
You know what I think we should do?
What?
Let's do another one next week.
Another one?
Let's just go nutsoid.
Yeah?
What do you think?
I don't know. Well, who do you think we could get?
I got a big one.
No way.
A big guest.
Like who?
Like Fred Wesley.
No way.
Band leader for James Brown.
That guy.
Have you heard of James Brown?
Yeah, I've heard of James Brown. He's awesome.
Do you know who Parliament are?
I know who those guys are, yes.
Yeah, he was in that band. Parliament Funkadelic.
The dude played the horn.
He arranged the music.
He arranged it all.
For that stuff.
You know, serious business, this guy.
Remember that guy Snoop Dogg?
Yes.
Stole everything from Fred Wesley.
Stole everything from that guy.
That's just how it
Fred
is.
Fred Wesley, dude, that guy, he knows a little something about getting down.
I bet you didn't see that coming, did you?
Going to Funky Town.
Band leader for James Brown and the JBs.
He basically was the JBs. What the hell?
Fred Wesley and the Horny Horns?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying, dude.
He was on all that stuff.
Well, let's call that guy next week.
One Nation Under a Groove.
I'm saying this is going to be the grooviest program on the planet.
Remember that show that you used to host called The Mothership Connection?
Yes.
Fred Wesley wrote the music for that.
All of it. The whole show. My entire show.
Your entire life.
My entire life, this guy.
You owe to next week's
that is
special guest.
Something special. Seriously, that the music is going to be so awesome. How can that show not be awesome? It's impossible.
Just like the old days.
Seriously. Wow.
James Brown, Parliament, Man.
This is ridiculous. We are the funk masters of Minnesota, I must say.
First Mojo Nixon and now Fred Wesley?
Yes.
What else could happen this year on the five count? I think we ought to be winning some sort of an award or something.
I agree.
Maybe we can treat ourselves to a Jandek concert. I don't know.
Maybe BET will call us.
That could be.
Could we be on BET?
Please, Southern Minnesota, keep your eyes out for the new issue of Ebony Magazine. Tons on the cover.
Yes.
He's going to be right on there.
Yep. This is awesome.
That's going to go good.
This is going to be great. I'm excited for next week's show. That is going to be awesome. The music is going to be great. That guy has to be cool, basically. There's no way that he can't be cool. He wrote all of the hits that all cool black dudes on the planet ever groove to, which means he's the coolest of the dudes.
Oh, yeah. He arranged those smoke and horn sections.
Yeah.
Basically, every awesome album ever, he was on it
James in some form Brown. Or another. James Brown's band, the dude who wrote the music, are you joking me?
I'm not. I'm totally serious. He's here next Saturday.
Oh, man, this is awesome.
In the meantime, check out the internet. It's a wonderful tool.
Check out the internet.
I think it's going to make it.
Go to the5count.com, www.the5count.com, all spelled out. Check it out.
Do that, yeah.
We are on there. Dusty likes to put really ridiculous pictures on there, but just try to skip over that stuff and go to the stuff that counts.
It all counts.
Go to SaveTheCrumbs.com. Go there, check out the zine, submit something to it.
Sure.
Let us know how you feel.
Go check out Mojo Nixon online. YouTube, he's on YouTube.
He's on YouTube.
We're on YouTube.
Everybody's on YouTube.
If you missed the show because you were out with your buddies hazing freshmen, it'll be on the5count.com tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning, check it out. Mojo Nixon. Stay tuned for next week. Fred Wesley of the JBs and Parliament Funkadelic.
That's going to be awesome.
Check it out.
If you're a music fan, what else do you do? It's frickin' James Brown.
You can't even... I mean, you can't even argue with this dude on Sweet Tunes, really.
He was James Brown's... Well, I would say maybe his left-hand man. His right-hand man was probably Bobby Bird, but his left-hand man was Fred Wesley.
Yes.
And those... James Brown, Bobby Bird, they're dead. Fred Wesley, he's alive. He's on the show next Saturday.
Yes. I'm saying you need to tune in for that show because it's going to be something special.
I would do it.
Awesome.
I guess that's it.
I'll be there.
Special thanks to Mojo Nixon. And we'll be back next Saturday at 11, possibly 10, possibly 9 if Afropop doesn't show up. Who knows? We might just be here all day.
Awesome.
See you next time.
See ya.